الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون. صدق الله العظيم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم ومسلمة. أو كما قال: All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the choicest blessings of Allah ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi, our leader, Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings He is bestowing upon us, and we ask Allah ta'ala to give us the ability and the consciousness of all these blessings, and also give us the tawfiq of making shukr for all these blessings. In the previous part of this series, we spoke about when we're doing any a'mal, any good deed, then for that deed to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakallah. It's not cooler water, man. It's not cooler.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Not bad for the cough. Then that deed must be based on the iman. So if a lot of people do a lot of good deeds, there's no iman, there's nothing for them in the akhirat. So now the next thing we ask ourselves is that when we are doing good deeds, then one is it is with iman, and when we are doing this iman, this deed with iman, then we have to ask ourselves that does this deed qualify us for entry into Jannah? So you might be doing a deed, it might be based on iman also, but this deed, is it such that is it qualifying me entry into Jannah? Is it qualifying me to receive the reward and for me to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so forth? Because in the Quran we find repeatedly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Amanu wa amilu salihat. Amanu wa amilu salihat. 57 times. How many times? 57. Iman and good deeds are linked together. And then over and above that, we find that where Allah makes mention of iman and amal salihat, iman and good deeds, then He says, what you will get in return for it? He says, Allahum jannatun na'im, that they will be given garlands of blessings. That means a lot of good things of Jannah. Another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that لَنَبَوِّ أَنَّهُم مِّنَ الْجَنَّةِ غُرَفًا تَجْرِي, that we will build for them rooms and chambers in Jannah, beneath which flow rivers. And so everywhere you find Amun wa Amun Salihat, in most places you will find, then Allah Ta'ala says that what you will get in lieu of that. So you will get Jannah, you will get the beautiful things of Jannah and so forth. So it is, yeah, 57 verses, most of these 57 verses have got one or other aspect relating to the receiving of Jannah. So it has to be based on Iman. Number two, we have to ask ourselves, does this deed qualify us for entering into Jannah? And if it does, then obviously that we're going to face the consequences of the deeds. And the consequences of good deeds, like we made mention, is to get the pleasures of Jannah. So these two words, Amanu, we spoke about. Amilu Salihat. These are two separate words. Amanu, Iman, we spoke about that, right? Amilu Salihat, those who do good deeds. So deeds and Salihat. Good deeds, these are two different things we have to understand. So we'll speak about what are deeds today. So when we speak of any good deeds, it's salihat. Any good deed that's salih, it means a deed that is righteous. That's the best English translation we can give. Then we can use other synonyms to say, okay, you know what, good is also noble, upright, and all these other words which actually will give us the same meaning of uprightness, a deed that's correct, a deed is proper, all those things. So when we are doing a deed, then we must ask ourselves, is it a salih deed, a deed that is uprightness? Because sometimes it can be a good deed, but it's not necessarily uprightness deed. It just can be anything. So therefore we have to ask. And the second thing for salih is that the deed must be in conformity to the Sharia and according to the Sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So one, it must be uprighteous, and number two, it must be a deed that will earn the pleasure of Allah. And number two, it must be a deed that is in conformity to the Sharia, to the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that brings us to the next thing, that when we are doing good deeds, how do we know how to do this deed? Is it correct? Is it upright? Is it righteous deed? Is it something going to please Allah Ta'ala? So this goes to the ayat of the Quran which we recited in the starting. Fas'alu ahl al-dhikr. Ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. So therefore it is so important, you know, when you go in Jama'at, they say you must go learn fazail, deeds, and you must go learn masail. So you have to learn both the things, masail and fazail. So to go to the ulama and you ask them that what is this deed, how must I do it, check my deed, whatever it may be. And then the second one is that we do the deed and then we have to go to do what the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam hadith is. He says, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيدَةٌ, that the acquisition of knowledge is compulsory. طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ. What is this ilm Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is talking about? You get an ilm, you get knowledge, ilm, and you get maybe information or skill or whatever it may be. To acquire information is not so important. You can go read up a whole lot of books about everything else. Ilm is that science which links a person up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person got a very good skill, a very good talent, a very good qualification, whatever he might have acquired. That is not necessarily ilm. When the Quran and the hadith speak of ilm, it refers to ilm that will link a person up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the ilm that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying is faraz for a person, for a believer to acquire. So when he says faraz, then doesn't mean you must go in university, for example. Nothing wrong in going there, but it does not mean that. So a person goes. And then these two deeds, again, you must remember, deeds, you get a'mali zahira and a'mali batina. Zahira means the external deeds. So the external deeds are like we perform salah, we give zakat, we go for hajj. These are deeds that can be seen. A lot of them, there's a very vast range of them. Removing, for example, an obstacle from the path. Even that is a good deed. That's mentioned in the hadith also. So there are lots of good deeds. These are things that can be seen. So alhamdulillah. And these are things that are advocated by the Sharia, encouraged by the Sharia. So we go to external deeds and then internal deeds. Got something else there, the deeds of the heart, and we refer to them as the sunnahs of the heart. That is how we do mu'amalat, how we interact with people, whether we got honesty. You can't see honesty in the heart. Whether we got respect, whether we got kindness for the poor, whether we've got, you know, love for the Muslim brother. All these are internal acts of piety also. So that is something that's hidden inside the person's heart. So external as well as internal deeds, they form what is called amali salihah. And then, like you mentioned, that if a person doesn't get this, then sometimes he will think I'm doing a very good deed. But it might be a good deed, but it is not in conformity to the Sharia. And that can be the greatest tragedy any person can fall under, that he thinks he's doing good. He is doing what he thinks is the right thing. And the deed is also, for example, advocated by the Sharia. Allah says, such people, ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. All their efforts in the world are all lost. In other words, they make so much effort, but nothing is coming out of it. Because it's not done according to the proper method, it is not done according to the Sharia, and also there isn't the things that are needed to make a deed correct. So, ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. But they think that what they are doing is a very good deed. Now, how tragic that can be for a person if he thinks that, you know, I'm doing right, and Qiyamah Day he pitches up there and he says, nah, nothing of yours working. Like a fellow falls in a form. You fall in a normal form, you go into office and you fall in, and after they say, you know what, you fill this form in wrong, please take it away. Go do it properly again. Qiyamah Day we can't go back and do it right. That is one incident we mentioned sometime back. One fellow, he was a weaver, he used to weave cloth, and he took the whole roll and he went to go and sell it. So the merchant who he sold it to opened it up and said, there's a fault there, there's a fault here, that's not right, that is not right, that is not right. So this person started crying. So he said, now why are you crying? Don't worry, I'll buy your cloth, don't worry, not a problem. He said, I'm crying because you found so many faults in my work. What if on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala tells me there's a fault that you just did, fault what they did, fault what they did, then what am I going to do? I'm going to be at a total loss. So therefore, the point here is that we must always be conscious and ask ourselves what I'm doing. Is it according to the Sharia? Am I doing what is supposed to be right? Then, you give an example that if a person is not careful, does not find out properly with regard to any deed, then that deed of his will be such that it will take him into Jahannam, and all his past deeds will go to waste. Now, that sounds very harsh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the people who do inheritance in the wrong way. You know, wirathat. When inheritance comes, we find sometimes people are so greedy and so stingy and so cruel, whatever. They don't want to fulfill the matter correctly. So they want to give it according to how they want to give it. They feel, you know what, this one must get more, this one mustn't get anything, this one, whatever it might be, this one must get so much, and so forth. So that is a dangerous thing. If a person does that and he does not do it according to what the Quran says in the fourth chapter, Allah speaks about the shares. Allah says, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, that whoever disobeys Allah and he disobeys the Rasul. This is in the context of the inheritance. Right? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that such a person will be entered, يُدْخِلُ جَنَّةً, he will be entered into Jahannam forever and ever. Okay, so in other words, such a bad thing. He will be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there is one hadith also in that regard. I'm just giving an example. If the deed is not done properly, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a person, 60 years old, he has been making ibadat for 60 years. But when it came to the matter of inheritance, he did not do it fully, he did not do it correctly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such a person go to Jahannam. So much of 60 years of ibadat, all gone. Likewise, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a similar hadith with regard to a male and a female. He said, both of them, they have done ibadat for so many years, and then when the time comes now for them to pass away, then all their deeds are lost because they did not do their inheritance properly. So that is just one example we are giving, that if we don't do properly. So therefore, when it comes to inheritance, make sure that everything is done. Again, go to the ulama, go to the people who are experts in the field of inheritance, ask them how this must be done, because we don't know. So we will think, you know what, this one in my family must get more, and this one must get less. So Allah says, you don't know. لَا تَدْرُونَ أَيُّهُمْ أَقْرَبُ لَكُمْ نَفْعًا, you don't know which one is more beneficial to you. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. So don't go and make your own stories and, you know, according to what you feel. You know that very famous story, I mentioned it some time back, that the one fellow, his whole family came there to receive the inheritance. He died. And he called a lawyer, just said, must rewrite my will when I die. So the lawyer called all the family and they all came, mashallah, you know, rubbing their hands, we're going to get big bucks, because the guy was very, very rich. And so he says, I, whoever hereby bequest all my wealth to be given to my dog. Very cross. Because the dog was with him all the time. So he thought the dog is the closest. So this incident is mentioned. So therefore, we don't know who is the best to us. So he thought the dog is the closest to him. So like that, parents, children, brothers, fathers, sisters, all of that, right? So that is another thing we must keep in mind. So what is a'mal? So saliha means righteous deeds, right? Saliha means those deeds that, like mentioned, in conformity to the sunnah and the sharia. A'mal are not those things, what we think are a'mal. We must know that I think this is a deed, it's a good deed, it's going to be done. No, it is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said to it to be. Likewise, a'mal are not those things which we think that this, it makes a lot of sense, this is logical. Not necessarily. According to our logic, our opinion, it's not necessarily that it is that it is in the category of amalu salihah. We have to keep that in mind. Likewise, we must not think that a deed is, you know, a good deed is amal because it looks very nice. You know, one child, he didn't know better. So his car, father's car was parked there, and there was a big puddle of water, muddy water. So he thought, you know, make my father happy, you know. So he picked up a whole lot of water from the muddy pile and started washing the father's car. Now you can imagine what would have happened. The child was thinking it would be a very good thing. And then another one, the child in the house, took the koki and started making patterns on the wall. And the mother came to shout. But she says, see how beautiful it looks. So nice it looks. So the children had to scratch on the walls also. So this is just an example. So we think it's very nice outwardly. Hey, you know, so nice feeling in this. But if it is not from the Sharia, it is not the amal. We must be careful about that. Likewise, not what our opinion tells us. Oh, the very famous one. We've always been doing it. Our forefathers told us to do it. They were doing it. That's also not a basis. Yes, if they were doing it, and if it is according to the Sharia, it's according to what the Sunnah, then fine, you do it what they were doing. But if it's not that, then you do not pursue such a deed. You must first have it checked up by the ulama, that what are the limitations, should such a deed be done. So a'mal, Allah says, a'mal are going to be weighed on the day of Qiyamah. A'mal are going to be weighed. Number two is, a'mal are the currency and the key for us to enter into Jannah. So we have to ask ourselves when we are doing any a'mal, that will this deed be a good deed that's going to make my scales heavy on the day of Qiyamah? Is this deed such is going to be my key for the entry into Jannah? That's what we have to ask ourselves. So this word Amilus Salihat comes, you'll read the Quran repeatedly. Then this, these two things that I made mention of should come to our mind. And with it, like we mentioned before, also there, it has to be accompanied with ikhlas, that is with sincerity of intention. There must be no worldly motive for it, because then again it's going to be lost, even if the deed is done perfectly, but that is now another internal thing that takes place. If the internal aspect is not right, then it is going to not be recognized by Allah Ta'ala. And there must be no worldly motive in front of us. Yes, deeds, some are given to us that for a worldly motive, you read this dua, you read this ayat, whatever it is, or any other good deed you do. So that is there. But our motive, especially when you're doing something, it does not be for gaining worldly benefit. In some cases, you are told to do this for worldly benefit. For example, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, when you maintain good family ties, then Allah will give you barakah in your rizq, Allah will give you a long life. That is different. But generally, when doing any good deed, you must say, I'm doing it only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, you must remember that deed that we are doing, ask ourselves that, is this deed attracting the mercy and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it the cause of it dispelling bad deeds? Ayat of the Quran, apparently one person committed some sin. And he came to complain to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, came to confess. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not answer him, that what you did was wrong in this. He went for Salah. After Salah, when they came out, he asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know what, I did this bad act, so what now? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, don't you see, you just said Salah, innal hasanat yudhibna sayyat, that good deeds wipes away evil deeds. So when we are doing good deeds many times, and we know this in the Quran also, many other places, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will expiate, we will wipe away your sins because of you having done a good deed. So that's another thing also. All these things are supposed to be in our mind, that when I'm doing that deed, will it have all these benefits in it? Therefore, we must make sure that we need to learn. First, alu ahl al-dhikri. What must we learn? We must learn everything that is faraz. So we know what all the faraz is. Then we must learn all the things that are wajib. Then in every faraz and in every salah, let's take for salah for as an example, we must know what are the things that are faraz in that faraz namaz. What are things that are sunnah? What are things that are wajib? What are the things? These are things we learn in the madrasa. Wajibat of salah and things that break salah and those type of things. These are things we are supposed to know. If we don't know these things, then we'll be doing that act, but we're not fulfilling the important requirements there. That's the first thing. The second thing with regard to deeds is this, that we must know the we must be able to distinguish in the ranks of the deeds. So what does that mean? When a deed is wajib or faraz, then we must not give something else preference over it. So you want one fellow going for Umrah every time, Umrah. But when you're going for Hajj, he says, no, I carry and go for Umrah. So he is giving preference to Umrah, which is not something Allah Ta'ala is going to ask him about. Allah says Islam is based on five pillars, Iman, Salah, Zakat, fasting, and Hajj. He didn't say Umrah. So some people, they just think that we're getting with Umrah, so we'll get the matter sorted out. No. Or somebody, mashallah, who's helping Ibadat, the Hajj, Fajr, Namaz is gone. Or another fellow is giving a lot of Nafil Sadaqah. But when Ramadan comes, he's not giving his Faraz Zakat. Faraz Zakat is one of the pillars of Islam. So what we are saying, we must be able to know the difference in the ranks of the different amal. If you are not doing correctly, the deed is not going to be of any benefit to a person. And lastly, we must know the virtues and the rewards of every deed, because that is the motivation. So that's why when you go in Jamaat, they say you must learn what are the faza'il. Faza'il is the virtues of the deeds, and you must have full yaqeen that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said this. So Allah has said this, that when I do a certain deed, then this is the unit for me, I'll get this forgiveness, I'll get this stage in Jannah, and Allah will forgive me, etc. All these type of things that a person should have in front of him. And lastly, sometimes a person is doing a good deed, but with the good deed, Allah says he mixes a bad deed. خَلَطُوا عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَآخَرَ سَيِّئًا. So Allah says the person does a good deed, but with that good deed, he adds a bad deed. So there could be a lot of examples of that also, where a person is doing something good, and then in that he goes and do something bad. For example, we give when a person is going for Hajj, right? That's a good deed. But when he's in Hajj, those of us know, sometimes there are places, like let's take the Hajarul Aswad. Good deed, mashallah. But some people, they will elbow, they will fight, they will push, they will do whatever they have to, but to get to the kiss the black stone. So it is a good deed to kiss the black stone, but then they mess it up a little bit. And various other deeds where they are good, but then we mix it up with bad. So that deed also not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And lastly, you must also know which act is makruh and which act is sunnah. Because if you want the deed to be beautiful and to be heavy on the scales, then you must make sure it is sunnah. Because sometimes we just think, makruh is all right. Makruh, no. Makruh is something that devalues the deed. The value gets less. And number two is, makruh is something that leaves a ugly stain on our deed. So nobody likes ugly stain on their clothes. So our deeds, when they're going to be presented to Allah, we don't have ugly stain on it. And sunnah is something that bejewels and it decorates the deed. Every deed has a beautiful look about it. So that's what you must also know, that this is makruh. So we must try and take away it from the makruh acts and try and bring every act according to the sunnah. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Let's make zikr. أفضل الذكر فاعلم أنه لا إله إلا